Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM.
OTC, one pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn.
It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Uses directed for 14 days, not for immediate relief.
What do you think you could excel with in competitive eating? That's our topic today. We'll also talk with Jeremiah Davis about the local and national racing scene. It's all coming up. Friday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Welcome into the Gym Class here on KGYM, 1600 AM. The historic main gym, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. As always, we are presented by Third Base Brewery. Want to get your weekend off to a great start? Stop on by after work today. Get that Friday going on a hot, hot one out there. And we encourage you to do so. They are located at the corner of Blairs Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Locally owned and operated, great craft beer selection, some great, great wings, great food as well. Stop on by Third Base Brewery at the corner of Blairs Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes with you. Kyle Mann, our producer here today. Kyle will join Alex on the Todd Brommelkamp Show coming up from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock, and then Twins baseball, hopefully not starting at 9:15 tonight, as the Twins take on the Tampa Bay Rays, although you don't care when they start as long as the Twins keep winning, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I tried to stay with the whole thing last night, but just was a little bit shy. But the Twins were ahead 5-1 in the eighth inning and figured that was tidy enough, and so it was. Twins winning 5-1 in game one of that series.
Playing well right now. Playing good.
They're also playing the Orioles and Royals,
well,
too.
Well, but the Rays were hot coming in, hot coming in, and beat Snell, I believe,
right.
Last night, the American League leader as far as victories are concerned. So Twins, kind of like they did last year at about this time, putting the pedal to the metal and getting back into things, getting closer to 500. You get to 500, then you can start talking a little bit. That's the first thing you have to do. So Twins and the Rays tonight, 7 o'clock, 107.5 FM. Lots of baseball around the state tonight, including Eastern Iowa. The 4A's and the 3A's get underway. And, of course, bring on the rain. Yes, radar is lighting up as we speak, and it's going to be, I know a couple of them have moved up. Western Dubuque and Bettendorf has been moved up a couple hours to 5 o'clock. I haven't heard any other games that have been moved up to 5 o'clock. If you do know them, let us know on the text line at 319-366-1600. That's the Hurtien & Stocker Jewelers text line located Hurtien & Stocker Jewelers conveniently on the Ped Mall down in Iowa City. But, yeah, everybody getting underway tonight. 4A, 3A baseball around the state of Iowa, weather permitting.
Yep, state softball is set. We talked to Jeff Linder yesterday previewing that tournament. You can go to our podcast at kgymradio.com. And catch that if you missed it yesterday. But yeah, a lot of postseason action in baseball scheduled tonight. 4 or 5 games in the quarter. And we'll keep you up to date on the weather.
Yeah. They're hoping to get round two completed at TPC Deer Run and the John Deere Classic. That is going on right now as we speak. The three former Hawkeyes are in, and Zach Johnson is out on the course right now, and we wish we had better news as far as Zach's progress is concerned.
Zach shot 200 par 69 yesterday, kind of a pedestrian round for the John Deere Classic, but he started with a birdie on his second hole today to get it to 3 under, but he just made double bogey on the sixth hole, so that sends him back to -1. And that is currently outside the cut line, which is at -3. Who's at -3? Sean McCarty, the head pro at Brown Deer, played his way into this tournament, was looking fine through most of the day. He was -6 at one point.
He was in the top 15 at one point today.
But he suffered a double bogey on his next to last hole, the eighth, and then needed a birdie at the very toughest hole on the course. The ninth hole, over 500-yard par 4. Sean drove it 342 yards. and hit an 8-iron to within 5 feet and birdied the ninth hole to get to 3-under for the tournament, even on his round today. And right now, that is the cut line. Right now, if the play ended right now, Sean McCarty would play the weekend.
Yeah, he would. And it's going to be nip and tuck, I think, at this point. Low 70 and ties get in. Right now, it's 60 players at minus three. And there are, what, you said 15 players at 1 or 2 under right now on the course still. So it kind of fluctuates about every 2 minutes or so. And right now, it's T60 for minus three. Zach's got to get going. We know that. There are opportunities there. But if you don't go low at TPC Deer Run for these guys, you're probably not going to make the weekend.
Again, McCarty was looking good until he went 4 over par in 4 holes on his second nine. That was just prior to him birdieing his last hole of the day, the ninth. So I'm sure Sean can look back a lot of different respects and say it could have been better, but he's still got a shot as of right now. Two other former Hawkeyes in the field, neither will play the weekend. Vince India shot 1 over par 72 today. He's even for 36 holes. That will not make the weekend. And Brian Bullington shot his second consecutive 74 plus 6 for 36 holes. Thanks for the experience, but they won't be around for the weekend.
Yeah, good experience, but like you said, will not be around for the weekend. And we'll keep you updated on Zach's progress and a whole lot more coming up.
319-366-1600, our Hertzien and Stocker Jeweler text line and our phone line. Right now, our producer preparing for his show with Alex Kuhn today, but give us a call if you would so choose. 1121, Sean McCarty wins money. Can he keep it? You bet. Sean's
a
pro.
He's a pro.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He won like, what, $35,000 at the PGA Professionals Championship for finishing second?
Correct.
You bet he can keep his money.
Now he's not going to get all of it.
No, his brother caddying will get a little
get
bit
some,
of it. The government will get
government
a little bit.
Will get a little bit, but Sean will take home a good chunk. I was afraid when Sean had a couple of chips today that he left in the rough. Also hit one that they couldn't find on a drivable par four, the 14th. At TPC Deer Run, and despite that, he's overcome it. And I'm, as the minutes go on, I'm feeling better about the threes at this point, feeling a little bit better. But right now, Sean's on pins and needles as we speak, and just seeing if he's going to stay around. And knows he's going to go off fairly early tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Now there is weather moving in overnight. Of course, if it rains, going to play completely different tomorrow. At TPC Deer Run. So we'll see how it all plays out. And Sean will actually, if he can get in, and the way he bombs it off the tee, he just hits it a long way. He doesn't need to really have a role to help him.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think the rain would play into his hands a little bit. Right now at the top, Steve Wheatcroft, where did this come from? He was 209 on the FedEx standings coming into the weekend. Top 125 get into the playoffs and keep their card. The rest have to go back to Q School. Steve Wheatcroft was way out of it at 209. I mean, it's a good story, mind you. But shot 62 yesterday. He's backing it up at 5-under through 10 today. He's got a two-shot lead over former runner-up David Hearn, whose claim to fame is that he lost to Jordan Spieth in the playoff when Jordan won his first event on the PGA Tour with the chip in from the bunker, the Canadian in second. Then you got the Italian, Francesco Molinari, who arguably is the hottest player on the planet right now as far as golf is concerned. And then you got a three-way tie after that and fourth between Michael Kim and then two other Americans that one's a journeyman and Robert Garrigues. That's our guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then rookie Sam Ryder up there. No relation to our friend in Knoxville, Tyler Ryder. But Sam Ryder in there at fourth as well. So, and Keith Mitchell, who was here at the Zach Foundation Golf Classic on Monday, is tied for seventh right now. So Keith's playing very, very well at this point. But a little bit of golf left to be played today, that's for sure. 319-366-1600. We're going to have our topic coming up later on. And Mark is anticipating this greatly.
You know, I threw it out there on Twitter and Facebook at my respective sections of the social media, and I got almost immediate response on Facebook, and we'll read some of those comments when we get into the topic, which is, if you had the ability to be a competitive eater, which food would you choose?
Now, does this have to be a food that's already out there on the competitive eating
schedule? No, I don't
schedule,
think so.
Or you can make one.
I think a couple of mine are not on the, well, I don't know. They have competitive eating for a lot of categories, but we might have to get a ruling on a couple of them on Facebook.
We'll have to see.
Yeah.
We'll have to see. 319-366-1600. A couple of news and notes before we get to a break and get into our discussion with Jeremiah Davis. There was speculation a couple weeks ago that Paul Feinbaum, who, of course, is Mr. SEC, hosts an SEC talk show at some stations, especially south of the Mason-Dixon line, carry. Some speculation that he was going to leave that and join the Big Ten Network, that he was being courted by Fox and the Big Ten Network. I don't know if that was true, but Paul Feinbaum re-upped today with ESPN to stay with
the SEC. What would he add to the Big Ten Network?
That would be my question there. I mean, he knows a lot about football, but granted, most of it is SEC.
He's an SEC apologist.
Well, or cheerleader.
For the most part, yeah.
However you want to. He's going to stay with ESPN and work where he should, and that's with the SEC Network. So there you go. We have a poll question for you as well at KGYMradio.com, which could be a topic all in its own, and we've talked about it before.
Well, the impetus was when I saw that there's a third-place game in the World Cup. That's going to take place tomorrow, and the final will be on Sunday. And I called you and said, this got to be the poll question. Should all consolation games be eliminated? Yes or no? Now, we've gone through consolation. We debated it on the high school scene.
Correct.
You know, in a consolation game at 9:30 in the morning on Saturday in whatever class it might be. Do those kids really want to play that game? I'm a 90% yes on this question, but I thought about the Olympics.
Well, the Olympics are different.
The consolation actually is for a bronze medal.
Correct.
And that's something different, I think.
That is completely different.
But why are they playing a third place game in the World Cup?
Money.
Do they get extra money for that?
I
don't know.
I suppose.
Our World Cup expert, maybe Kyle Mann, can...
Money makes the world go around.
Help us on that, but...
makes the world go around.
What do you think about consolation games? Should we get rid of them? Are they okay?
You take a look at, I mean, if you blanket all sports, I would have to say, like you said, the Olympics, a little different. Now, if you have nine and under, whatever, baseball, basketball, whatever the case may be, to get another game in, I guess I'm okay with that. That's fine. But when you get to fifth and seventh, I know the girls softball got rid of fifth and seventh place games this year. They got rid of those. And I guess to me, it depends on what sporting event you're talking about. So that's a cop out as far as our, that is not a third
option.
You're
mostly on the side of get rid of them.
Yes. You know, and as far as I've seen a lot of consies over the years, 25 years at the Boys State basketball tournament. There's not a huge crowd. Now, the 1A's and 2A's do get a decent crowd. I'm not saying they don't. 3A and 4A's, no. You don't get a crowd.
Have you played in a consolation game out there? Give us a call. Give us a text. What do you think? 319-366-1600. Maybe you liked it. Maybe it's a good thing after getting your butts beat in the semis. I don't know.
I don't know. Bert in Riverside wants to comment about the consolation game in the World Cup. Bert, how are you?
Good. How are you today?
Doing great. Doing great. Educate us on the third place game in the World Cup.
Well, I know like in rugby, they have the cup that they play for. Second place team, I believe, gets the plate. The third place team gets the bowl.
Okay. So a trophy, plate, bowl.
A bowl, a plate, and a cup. So they do the consolation for that reason, that they do give out a trophy for third place.
Well, there you go, Mark. They got to play it there.
So,
okay.
That's my answer. Right or wrong, that's what it is.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
All right, Bert. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it.
Ryan, the food delivery guy on the text line, contends that in the World Cup, they get gold, silver, and bronze trophies.
Well?
Do you get beat in the semis? Do you really want to play for that bronze trophy?
Sure.
Maybe so.
Fourth place is feeling really bad at this point.
You get nothing.
You get nothing, and you got to like it. Got to like it. Fine. And I'm with that. If it's a meaningful token, something that you're taking home, great. I'm all for it. I'm all for it.
A couple more texts on the consolation issue, 8650. When I was in high school, I just wanted to play, period. Didn't care if it was preseason or the championship, just loved to play.
And I think the kids in those basketball consolation games also share your sentiment there, 8650, because those are usually turn out to be the best games of the entire week because there's no pressure. They're just out there playing and having a good time. So, yeah.
1455 on the text line, I can see consolation game in high school simply to give the seniors one last time to play together. But in professional sports, other than the Olympics, it's completely pointless and only risks people getting injured for nothing.
There's definitely a divide in this question.
0847, get rid of them.
Get rid of them. Not even, boy, that was just quick and to the point. Get rid of them. So go ahead and vote at KGYMradio.com. We've got another pair of tickets to see Hairball. That'll be at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena on Saturday, November the 17th. Tickets are now on sale. Went on sale this morning at 10 o'clock at the usual location, Cedar Rapids Ice Arena, the U.S. Cellular Center box office, online at Ticketmaster.com. You can also go to KGYMradio.com and check things out. And we've got another pair of tickets to see Hairball. That'll be coming up on November the 17th, and we'll have those before 4 o'clock here today. Take a break, come back, and we're going to talk some racing with Jeremiah Davis. Got our topic to get to as well here in just a little bit. Friday edition of the Gym Class coming your way here on KGYM.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
DePaco is the credit union where your membership pays. Unlike typical profit-driven financials, DePaco's cooperative, member-owned structure enables us to give money back to you. We do it via thank yous, a special member benefit that thanks you in cash for simply using your credit union services. It's money in your pocket for your participation in the credit union through saving, borrowing, and planning for your financial future. With an active personal checking account, you're eligible to earn. Over the past 2 years, DePaco members have shared more than $6 million in thank yous. So go on, save, borrow, invest, and insure with DePaco and earn thank yous for doing so. Yeah. Find out what you're earning and how you can earn even more. Get the details at DePaco.com/thank yous. Requires credit union membership and an active personal checking account. DePaco is federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, that the good times roll.
Don't miss our spectacular post-game fireworks show at the Colonels this Saturday night. Sponsored by Bank of the West. Visit Colonels.com to get your tickets now for the best party in town and party at the park with the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Hey, hey, Colonels, let the good times roll. Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Come play the Wednesday game at St. Andrews Golf Club. Now it starts at noon, and you just need to call by 11:30 to enter. The entry fee is $30, and there are no green fees. Plus, all entries are returned. Play is on a Stableford format, which gives every golfer a chance to win, regardless of ability. There will be team, individual, and skin winners. The Wednesday game is the best game in town, and it's only at St. Andrews Golf Club, 1866 Blairs Ferry Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids.
Doing HVAC work has given you some good opportunities. Now how about an even better one? Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is looking to represent residential commercial HVAC workers. Being with 263 means you're part of the union, and union jobs offer better pay, better benefits, and better job security. Those are things that mean a better life using the skills you already have. Work with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263. Give Rick a call at 319-721-9414. 319-721-9414.
/3:24 here in the Friday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. We're going to have our discussion topic coming up in a little bit. If you were a competitive eater, what would be your food of choice to eat? Or what do you think you would be, both, what do you think you would be good at eating, and what would be your food of choice out there? It's a two-pronged question, and we'll have your answers coming up here in just a little bit. Twins baseball coming up later on, Twins and the Rays, and that'll be at 7 o'clock tonight on 107.5 FM, the North Gym. And it's a rare Saturday ESPN Radio doubleheader tomorrow starting at 2:30. It'll be the Braves and the Diamondbacks and the Yankees and the Indians coming up tomorrow, because there is no Sunday Night Baseball this week. Due to the Major League All-Star break. And we'll have Home Run Derby on Monday night, All-Star game coming up on Tuesday night for you. Jeremiah Davis set to join us right now. You can give him a follow on Twitter at both his personal account and then the Inside Track with Jeremiah Davis as well, as we get ready to talk some local racing and some national racing here today. If you were a competitive eater, Jeremiah, what would you be eating?
Oh, mac and cheese for sure.
I was going to say, it's got to be mac and cheese.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's in my Twitter bio. This isn't even a contest.
And I think you could do good with that, too.
I think I would be – I think that's the one that I would really – I could have a run for everybody's money. I think I'd be all right.
Very good. Well, I'm not sure if there is a mac and cheese one out there. But
I think there is. Yeah.
Is there one?
I think there is, yeah.
There's pretty much everyone out there, so – we will see how that all plays out. All right, let's talk some racing. Here it is. We get toward the weekend, and look what's on the radar coming, huh?
We've avoided it for a good, month and a half?
Yeah.
We haven't had to worry about the weather, and as hot as it's been, I'm sure a lot of people who aren't racing fans are looking forward to some cooler weather and maybe some moisture, but... it stinks for us because, you know, there's a lot of good racing on the slate. And specifically Hawkeye Downs tonight, it's a huge night, you know, Wall of Fame night. You'd hate to see that ruined by some rain.
Yeah, yeah. It's on as of right now, Wall of Fame night out at Hawkeye Downs and Casey's night out there. So always a big night out there. Let's go back to last week, first of all, before we get to what happened at Iowa Speedway on Sunday. I know you had a last-minute thing come up to prevent you from headed up to Dubuque, but always great to see the World of Outlaw Craftsman Series in the state of Iowa, and they stopped at Dubuque last Friday night, and B. Shep took to the outside and got the victory in that one, Brandon Shepard.
Yeah, I think maybe I should be the one asking you about it, because if our listeners didn't know, I had a guest reporter fill in for me at the Inside Track by Jeremiah Davis and one Scott Unash. I'm very grateful that you helped step an inch to my...
No problem.
I couldn't get up there in time, but I missed a heck of a feature. I know from what you had told me and... racing surface left a lot to be desired. I think that's an issue that Dubuque has had for most of the season, from what I understand, that the racing surface wasn't great. But a heck of a story, you know, in that main event. You know, you have Mike Marlar, who he won at Farley. I can't remember if it was World Outlaw race or if it was the Hell Tour race last year, and had it taken away thanks to a weight rule issue. And he was out front again at an FSP track, and is in the points as well in the World of Outlaws. And, you know, that the track surface bit him in a right rear tire, which is the same thing that bit Brandon Shepard early in the race anyway, and Bichette being able to come back from a flat tire to win a race, it's always a lot of fun when you can watch a guy go from the back to the front. And Bichette's one of the best in a late model right now, and he showed it again at the expense of a local guy, you know.
Yeah.
I know Chris Simpson restarted up front and had a chance to win, but, you know, that Rocket Chassis number one and Bichette, that's a really good combination, and they're hard to beat anywhere. So nothing for Chris Simpson or anybody else to hang their head about. That's just a great racer season and opportunity.
Yeah, and then they went to Deer Creek up in southern Minnesota by Rochester on Saturday night and put on another good show up there. And I think Mike Marlar did get the victory in that one, if I recall.
Yeah, he did. And that's I need to get up that way. You know, Deer Creek, I've heard a lot of great things. They have a lot of great open shows between open late models and USMTS modifieds. And he's not that far away. You know, we have so many opportunities to see racing around here. But, you know, at least in Iowa, that we kind of forget sometimes that the immediate area around us has a lot of awesome places, too. You know, Fairbury, Illinois, Deer Creek, as you mentioned, Memphis, Missouri, all are places that are within, you know, a similar driving distance to, say, central Iowa or, you know, far northeast Iowa, that, you know, that we should be able to go see them when we can. And I need to put my money where my mouth is and go to some of those places.
Well, let's get to Newton on Sunday. We were both there.
Yes, we were.
At Iowa Speedway, and a heck of a show. Better crowd, and, you know, people look at it and say, well, there was still quite a bit of empty stands, but you take a look at the 10,000 people or so that are under the two tents there, mm-hmm. especially when it's sunny like that. I know the IndyCar people were very happy with the crowd, because if they were in the stands, it would have looked great. So
right.
I think the Sunday 4:30 or 5 o'clock time is now officially kicked out for the race time. It's either going to be a Saturday night race or a Sunday 1 o'clock race.
I agree. And Robin Miller on the race broadcast kind of let the cat out of the bag a little bit. It's not confirmed for sure yet, but from the way he made it sound, that it's very likely that the race is going to go back to a Saturday night show in the future. I know that's something that David Hyatt and the rest of Iowa Speedway are very supportive of, and they're trying to make happen. It's not a done deal yet, but if everything falls into place, that race belongs on a Saturday night, I believe. You know, short track racing, and this is something that NASCAR probably should apply as well. Short track racing has that aura of being a Saturday night show, right? You know, we talked about that in different contexts over the years, and when professional racing on shorter tracks happens at night, it just seems like more stuff happens, and it feels right, I guess. And I know that's not a great reason to do something, but it does. And as far as the racing on Sunday, it had more passes in one race than I believe it broke the record. I believe it did for active passes in a race at Iowa Speedway. And if it didn't, it for sure almost doubled last year's race. I don't have that stat off the top of my head. I apologize, but you know, a very active race. It just didn't look like it, because Joseph Newgarden was stinking up the show. At one point, he had all but three cars a lap down, and only five cars finished the race on the lead lap. To a lot of people, that sounds like a bad race. It wasn't. It just happened to be that one guy dominated, and everybody else was racing their heads off. Oriel Servia and Takuma Sato and James Hinchcliffe battled, you know, for several laps for that second spot. And when it came down to it, James Hinchcliffe had the fastest car at the right time. And, you know, we've all seen races where the dominant car of the day doesn't win. That doesn't mean that, you know, something bad happened or it was a bad race. It was just James Hinchcliffe and his team were opportunists. And given what happened to him, and I wrote about this, given what happened to him at Indianapolis, you know, it's a it helps the healing process for him and his team. But as he said, I think you were in the post-race press conference, that it's not going to fully be healed or fully be washed away or fully be forgotten until they go back to Indianapolis. It's going to keep getting brought up. So great for their team. I mean, and both race cars, he and his teammate were both very fast all day. Kind of a heartbreaker for Newgarden, but that's racing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what, Jeremiah, I'm more of a novice fan. I think you know that. But I watched the Iowa race, and you mentioned only five cars on the lead lap. And, I mean, and I'm the same way with NASCAR on a short track. When you have very limited cars with a chance to win, doesn't that – does that really pull in people like me or even more novice watchers? I don't know.
Well, I understand what your question, Mark. I think the reality of it is there are blowouts in every sport. You know, not every baseball game is 2-1 or, you know, 8-7. You know, not every hockey game goes to overtime. Not every basketball game ends on a buzzer beater. And this was the racing version of that. It was a blowout for most of it. And then there happened to be an upset winner right at the end. You know, it was a sort of a comeback victory, if you want to call it that, for James Hinchcliffe. I think as sports fans, we get a little spoiled with so many, with the parity in so many sports. Like so many games are close, and we forget that. You know, when I was younger, the NASCAR races, even when I was younger, you know, in the 90s, right? NASCAR races were ended with four or five cars in the lead lap. You know, it's either Dale Earnhardt, Jeff Gordon winning by a lot, and you know, football games, basketball games, this era we have of close competition is unprecedented, and it was just one of those days is the best way for me to put it, was that you're going to get these events where one guy is dominant and kind of puts the others to shame, and it just so happened that was one of them. It didn't make the rest of the racing bad. You know, my dad and my uncle were there. They were in the grandstands, and they didn't have a headset on, so they couldn't really, you know, the beauty of not being able to tell exactly what's going on is they just got to watch the racing in sort of its purest form, and they said they loved it. They knew Joseph Newgarden was leading. They didn't know by how much or who was right behind him, and it kind of relieved them of the burden of, oh, man, this is a stinker. So a couple different perspectives there, but I hope that is a good analogy.
No, that's great, Jeremiah, and I get it. A 7/8-mile track with IndyCars, you're not going to have many on the lead lap.
And they had half the field was on the lead lap at the halfway mark, which is pretty amazing, to be honest with you.
Right. It just sort of turned. That one stint, he just put everybody a lap down. I think it was a green flag pit stops, and that helped. And it was just one of those things. I mean, more often than not, the IndyCar race at Iowa Speedway leaves five or six guys with a chance to win and 10 or 12 cars on the lead lap. And it's a heck of a show. You know, when Ryan Hunter-Reay went from 11th to the lead or to the win 3 or 4 years ago, you know, that race was a barn burner from start to finish. And there was a bunch of different guys that led. And so it's just cyclical. You know, that's part of racing. It's going to happen at certain events. You know, it could happen at any race, any weekend. It just so happened this Iowa Speedway's turn.
Another raging debate, Jeremiah, is ending under caution. Scott and I talked about it on Monday. And I don't think either one of us want to see, you know, an Indianapolis 506 or whatever it may be. The same token, ending under caution just has a hollow feeling to it.
You know, I tweeted about this at the end of the race, and I asked James Hinchcliffe about it, and I got some IndyCar fans mad at me. But at the end of the day, I'm a racing fan. You guys know that. And I am all for racing to the advertised distance. But at the end of the day, it isn't about me, and it isn't about puritanism in racing. It's about giving fans something that they paid for and rewarding them for sticking it out in 95-degree heat or whatever it is. And if a green flag finish is what fans hope for or what racing, you know, you don't want to end in a tie. You don't want to end on a down note on any event. And I feel like that's what happened on Sunday.
It's a Bud Selig type thing.
Well, right. I mean, it was and when that caution flew, my mind started racing, and my heart started beating fast. And that's what you want, right? Like, oh, wow, what's going to happen? Who's going to pit? Who isn't? And then it was just like, you know, the balloon deflated, and the race was over. And it's like, well, okay, you know, James Hinchcliffe seemed, he was happy, but it was sort of like, oh, okay, I won. Yay. As opposed to having to hold off just Newgarden on brand new tires. You know, I just feel like everything would have been raised up a level with a green flag finish. And every race we go to at Dubuque, at Farley, at Marshalltown, at Hawkeye Downs, at West Liberty when it was open, all of these places, guess what? All of those races end in a green. And if we're going to entice the local fan to come back, that finish on Sunday is not a way to do it. And I feel like there's a better solution. And, you know, Hinchcliff disagreed with me, but he gave what I thought was an unsatisfactory answer. He said that we strategized to go to the race distance, and I would hate to have all the strategy done in by, it was something like we run out of fuel coming across the checkered flag, and I would hate to have that undone by a green flag finish. And I'm like, well, my reaction to that is, well, NASCAR engineers do it. If you know that there's a possibility to go into overtime, then you budget for that. That's not an excuse, but that's my opinion on it. I feel like there's a better way to give fans a quality finish than watching the last seven laps go by in a caution.
Well, I'll say this, though, and NASCAR is fine. I think there's a lot of safety that goes into it as well. You can't have Indy cars doing green, white, checkered finishes like that. And F1 cars, they don't get any cautions anyway, but just because of the fact that, you know, you're going to hurt somebody. So it's a different type of racing, and, you know, to each their own, I guess.
I know you guys don't run low on time, but let me just respectfully disagree in this instance. IndyCar, the risk level at Texas, at Chicago, at Indianapolis, I don't see how it's any different on lap 7 under green than it is on lap 507 or 207 or whatever it is. These guys, if they get together, you know, you're going to wreck big no matter what lap it is or no matter if it's restart. When they're at Texas, they're running 3 wide every lap. They're going flat out every lap. I don't see how it changes myself. And I understand what you're saying, and I understand that the IndyCar is a huge risk safety wise. I just don't know how when they're them getting up to speed over the last 2 laps changes the level of risk as compared to the fact that they're running 3 wide neck to neck all lap anyway. I don't see that as a viable argument.
One more quick one before we get to our competitive eating segment. Brad Keselowski, he and Kyle Busch are not best friends, but
Kyle doesn't have a lot of best friends out there.
Keselowski said, "I'm just not wrecking people enough. I need to wreck more people so they'll stop throwing bad blocks." He was talking about his teammate, wasn't he, Jeremiah?
No, he was talking about William Byron, who they triggered one of the big ones, one of the several big ones on Saturday night in Daytona. I think I'm just going to go out and wreck everybody all the time. Of course, he's not going to do that. The current restrictor plate package has kind of led these guys to be blockers more than passers, because once you get passed, it's really hard to pass them back. And unfortunately, he was the victim of a situation where he lifted for Byron, who threw a bad block, and then he got ran over. And I get his frustration. I wouldn't want to deal with it either. And, you know, I think that's – if they don't change the package, more people are going to adopt his mentality. Like, fine, I'm not lifting. I'm just going to drive through people because I get driven through and I'm not putting up with it anymore. And that's what we're going to see if they don't change things.
Yeah. Well, that's restrictor plate racing, like it or hate it. So
racing in quotes.
Yeah.
Racing in quotes.
I know. Yeah, and you're not for that. I'm not for that. Get it back to the way it was. I would like that. But Joey ran very well Saturday night before he got kept getting shuffled out by the top 10 because he didn't have a dancing partner. And that's the problem. The other problem with restrictor plate tracks, and ended up 4 wide and ran out of racetrack.
Yeah, it was a frustrating night for two of the 3 Iowa guys we had in the race. You know, Landon Castle started the race with a dead battery, so he never really had a chance to compete. I talked with him just a little bit, and he told me that the car was good enough to be up in the pack. It's just starting the race 4 laps down, he didn't feel any need whatsoever to mix it up, and I don't blame him for that.
Right.
Joey had a heck of a car too, and had a heck of a chance, and then Our guy John Leonard from Vinton on top of the pit box, the 95, I thought he was going to victory lane, and he admitted to me the other day that he thought he was too, that with a, you know, a handful to go, that they were going to have a chance to win that race. But, you know, again, that's racing. It just didn't work out for him. Very strong run, and I think a huge confidence booster to him and Casey Kane.
I would agree with the 95 car. All right, more racing coming up. Follow Jeremiah on Twitter and follow the Inside Track as well. Talk to you soon, man.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Jeremiah Davis joins us on Friday's Talk Racing here on KGYM. Quick break, but as we go to break, going to give you an opportunity to pick up our final pair of tickets to see Hairball on November the 17th. And tickets are on sale right now. Went on sale this morning at the usual outlets. 319-366-1600. Caller number six, you're going to pick up those tickets. 319-366-1600. Back with our topic after this.
Pros in the know start with Lowe's, because Lowe's makes it easy for pros to save money every day on building materials and supplies, especially when you buy in bulk. Get 20% off select shingles when you buy one pallet or more. Plus, get in and out quickly with help at the Pro Desk from our dedicated associates and the convenience of Pro Checkout, all at your nearby Lowe's. So, Pro, now that you know, start with Lowe's. While supplies last, see store for details.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right?
Well, with the Keep Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Video typically streams at DVD quality at 60 gigabytes. We reserve the right to review your account for usage in violation of Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
We know every fork in the trail leads to a new adventure. We know the great outdoors. We love the great outdoors. Make this summer last during family summer camp at Bass Pro Shops in Cabela's. Plus, get great deals on great gear, like select ladies shorts and tops starting at under $15. And save 25% on all in-stock towable tubes. Go online to learn more. Bass Pro Shops in Cabela's. Your adventure starts here.
Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, pick up a bottle of Seafoam Fuel Additive on sale for $6.99. Plus, earn double O rewards points. Adding Seafoam to your oil or gas will help smooth out a rough idle, restore lost power, and improve fuel economy. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limit supply. See store for details.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
.45. Congratulations going out to Don in North Liberty. He is the winner of our final pair of tickets to see Hairball at the Ice Arena coming up on November the 17th. A couple more texts coming in as far as consolations are concerned, but we want to get to our topic. And that is, if you're a competitive eater, what would you excel at in competitive eating? Or, what do you think? You can play off of that, if you will, a little bit, Mark. 319-366-1600. That is Hertina's Dr. Jewelers text line. And you can reach us as well on the phone lines at the same number, 319-366-1600.
Our friend Joe D on the text line. This is really appropriate for Cedar Rapids. Cherry kolaches.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
About that. I'd go poppy seed myself.
Well, Claire hooks me up with cherry kolaches every year. So I'm going to go with cherry.
2024, a certain fast food franchise's fillet of fish.
But now you got to think of it. Can you woof those down at
amazing
rate?
Well, the whole premise is, if you had the ability, like Joey Chestnut, to be a competitive eater, if you had that kind of ability, what food would you eat?
I think a lot of people will say the old standard, wings. There's a lot of wings out there.
2746 believes did quite well with shrimp.
Shrimp. I know there is shrimp competitive eating. I don't claim to have seen it before, but I have read about it before, that they do eat shrimp.
Adam on the text line, he'd be an oyster champ.
Adam, you can have that one.
I'll tell you what, one of the most interesting ones showed up on my Facebook feed, and it's from Ryan.
Okay.
The sweetest delicacies we eat back home at Christmas, potato bologna. Sausage and ground potato with spices in a sausage casing and ustekaka. Hopefully I pronounced that
right. I hope you did too.
Which is a Swedish cheese pudding. Give me a contest with either. I've never eaten ustekaka, but it doesn't sound bad. Cheese pudding.
I've given this a lot of thought. A lot of thought. For myself, Jeremiah said mac and cheese. I'm going to go, I think I can just do really well with Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Mm.
I think I could do well with that.
They're not bad.
They're terrific.
Well, the one that immediately came to mind was a snack cracker that is no longer made, which irks me to no end. Twigs.
Oh, really?
I could eat a box of Twigs in no time.
Okay.
Just loved them.
All right.
And went looking for another box. Just loved them, and now they don't make them anymore. Give me a corn on the cob eating contest.
I like corn on the cob. I had that down as one of mine. Then you just fling the cob. And fling the cob. I mean, you can fling it out in the crowd. You can fling it behind you. You can fling it anywhere. Crowd participation is big with that too, Mark. I would give marks for that.
Matt on my Facebook feed says, that's tough, but I can eat deviled eggs and or cheesecake till I'm sick.
Oh, God.
I might pick bacon, though, too.
Deviled eggs. I love deviled eggs, but not one not after another in mass. Here's one, which I think this would be great, too, because you would have to not only eat it quickly, but you have to delegate how much you're going to eat at a certain time because you could have the ice cream headache. Not only ice cream, but also, you know, the little, they're not the, not a push-up or something like that, but the little, like, frozen Kool-Aid type things that you cut off the top and you eat them, the popsicle type things. Popsicles. I could do popsicles till the cows come home.
We might need a ruling from Kyle on this. I don't know. Dale, our friend, also known as Stumpy.
Stumpy!
He says beer. Is beer a food? Is beer a food?
Kyle says no.
Kyle's
shaking his head.
Kyle is gonging that one.
Oh,
might have to deal with Stumpy here in a little bit. You never know.
Stumpy on line two from Marengo.
Our friend Joel Muscatine, he would be a champ at walking tacos.
Walking tacos are good. How about watermelon?
Not very filling, is it?
No, but what do you do with the seeds then?
They make seedless watermelons.
Well, that's not fun. I'd rather have the seeded watermelons. And then you can, again, audience participation. Just spit them right out at the front row.
47-44 would be the mashed potato eating champion of the world.
Of the world.
A lot of tacos on the text line.
Tacos, good.
A few little smokies.
Which, that is what Tyler and Todd did. Remember back in the day, the little smoky challenge? Yes. And I think Todd won. I did.
Fresh from Marion, he would dominate ramen noodles.
I haven't had a ramen noodle in a long, long time. Let's bring in Mitch from Cedar Rapids on the phone line at 319-366-1600 here at 352. How you doing, Mitch?
Pretty good. How are you guys?
Great.
Good.
Great. What's your food of choice?
Pizza rolls.
Yes.
Pizza rolls.
Yep.
Very.
23, I still eat them every so often.
College, I survived on pizza rolls.
Yes. Those are the best.
Very good, Mitch. Thanks for the thanks for helping. Appreciate it.
Yep.
All right. Let's get a break in, and then we'll come back with some more of your texts out there. 319-366-1600. What would you like to eat in a competitive eating environment? We'll have more when we come back.
Lindsay McGrath for the McGrath Used Car Campus in beautiful Hiawatha. This is why you shop the Freedom Celebration.
Free yourself from high prices.
Now through Monday night, use cars from $29.88.
Free yourself from high monthly payments.
Monthly payments as low as $88.
Free yourself from high down payments.
Buy with as little as $88 down during the Freedom Celebration now at the McGrath Used Car Campus here in beautiful Hiawatha. Over 2,500 used cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. Down payments from $88, monthly payments as low as $88. Used cars from $29.88 and used trucks from $99.98. Shop Sierras, Silverados, Acadias, Yukons, even Wranglers.
Free yourself from credit problems.
Nobody works harder than the McGrath Used Car Campus credit crew to help get you approved. The Freedom Celebration through Monday night. The McGrath Used Car Campus in beautiful Hiawatha, I-380 and Boyson Road.
Celebrate online, McGrathAuto.com.
This is the sound of every home run Minnesota Twin Brian Dozier hit in 2017. It's a sound you'll hear even more in 2018. And as a season ticket holder, you'll get a lot more than that. From choosing your own games to savings on tickets, concessions, and merch, and even access to pregame field passes, you'll get the most out of the season. That is the ultimate fan experience. This is How We Baseball. Get your season tickets today at twinsbaseball.com.
You know that Airgas USA, LLC, is one of the nation's leading suppliers of industrial, medical, and specialty gases. But did you know we also carry welding and safety supplies, hardware and tools, and offer MRO products and services to industrial and commercial vendors? We do, and we have a location right here in Cedar Rapids on C Avenue Northeast. So the bottom line, Airgas USA, LLC, has gas, welding, and safety supplies. We're 30 years strong and getting stronger. See us at airgas.com.
What's that in your hand? A dart? If you can throw a dart, you can throw a hatchet at Hatchet Jacks. Feel the weight of that mighty hatchet in your hand, then chuck it at a target with fiery gusto. Hatchet Jacks is the first hatchet throwing bar in the state, right here in Iowa City, on Highway 1 and Riverside Drive, next to Finn and Feather. Hatchet Jacks is finally open, so reserve your pit, sling some hatchets, and toss back a drink or two. Hatchet Jacks. Splitting wood in the neighborhood.
Back here at coming up at 3:55. A few more suggestions flying in here before we close up shop here on a Friday.
58.99 on the text line. Two old softball players had a corn on the cob eating contest, and the winner finished 22 ears.
And how long?
Don't know how long. That was in 30 minutes. That'd be pretty impressive, I think.
Very. It's a. Is it a half ear, full ear?
Well, that's the problem with corn. You'd have to have. In a competition, you have to have equal ears of corn, right?
Correct.
In terms of weight or whatever,
absolutely.
I don't know.
Absolutely.
2024 would dominate buttered popcorn.
Oh, I wouldn't want to do that just because it might get stuck in there. And that's why I don't eat popcorn when I go to games. Because you're going to have that kernel that gets stuck, and then you're not going to be able to talk for 5 minutes.
That would be a problem for you.
That's a problem for me. Didn't put popcorn down.
2746. How many bowls of grape nut cereal could you eat? I think your mouth would just completely wear out after two bowls.
Or you turn into Yul Gibbons. Wasn't that his name? Yul Gibbons was the guy that
sounds familiar.
Was pushing grape nuts all those years. Kids, look it up. Give it a Google.
7970 cookie dough.
Oh. That would be good. How about cookie dough ice cream?
Yeah. 8721, hot peppers, but always feel it the next day. You don't think Joey Chestnut doesn't feel it the next day?
Yeah, they don't show the July 5th portion of what's happening with the competitive eaters.
9068 would vote for sushi.
I'm going to pass.
I like sushi, but
I'm not a seafood guy.
Not a competitive eating contest.
I am not a seafood guy.
You know what? I think I'd do pretty well in the string cheese eating contest. My body might not like it, but
again, we're waiting for the next day. I thought about just peanuts. Like, you have to break the peanut in the shell peanuts and then eat it that way. I love the peanuts, and but I don't know if that would be a good competitive eating type thing. But I think I do well with it.
You know they have a Major League Eating has a mayonnaise eating contest?
No, that would be wrong.
I got the site up here.
That would be wrong.
The record in 8 minutes, 4 32-ounce bowls of mayonnaise.
That's not right.
That's sick, isn't
that,
it?
Well, it could be.
What was it? 4 32-ounce bowls of mayonnaise. Oh, my God.
It's 128 ounces good, of mayonnaise.
Good math.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Appreciate all the texts flying in. And the guys will have another topic coming up next Friday. Mike Colas will join you and Kyle on Monday. I'm off next week, a little vacation. And we'll be back on the 25th because then 23rd and 24th is Big Ten Media Days up in Chicago. So wish everybody a great weekend and a good week next week. And I know you and Kyle will man the ship well.
Have a good, relaxing vacation. And we'll talk to everybody on Monday and you a week from Monday.
There you go. It's been the Gym Class, KGYM.
It's a normal day. You're rushing out the door to get to work on time when suddenly, there it is, the dreaded service light. So what is it this time? Tire pressure? Low coolant? Time for an oil change?